I will confess I've been very angry reading some of the testimonies that have been written in, some of the screenshots of evidence of interaction that's happened between this influencer and her customers/followers. And my heart's kind of broken a little bit for some of these women that have been, I'm just going to put it blatantly, financially ripped off by the social media user.
Hello and welcome to episode 27 of The Love Note. Today we will be talking, myself and my guest, about a very important issue that's come up recently and one that I've stumbled upon my passion for talking about. If you follow me on any of my personal profiles on social media, you would know that Trefiel is going through the process of being closed down, and with that I am able to start talking a little bit more about how we build our business, and I also really want to focus on teaching people how social media and the business of social media works, and that's what today's interview is about. Now, this conversation spanned over roughly 2 hours, and there was a lot of different topics covered which I couldn't possibly include in this entire podcast. So what I've done instead is I've broken it up into pieces which I think are the most relevant for you to hear, and I'll open each of these by saying, in this section we're going to be talking about X, and then the interview will follow. So I'm absolutely terrified to release this episode because it has the potential to lead to a lot of drama, because we are unveiling something which is typically hidden from normal people. But I feel really strongly about this, and I know that you should know what's happening and what's going on, so the show must go on. I hope you enjoy it and strap yourself in. So, first things first, allow me to introduce you to Jess, my guest on today's episode.
Okay, well, my name's Jessica, and really formal. My name's Jess, and I am a 30-year-old mother of one son. I have not been on social media for a very long time. I'm only still sort of new to Instagram. I've been on Instagram for 5 years, but only really active for the past 2 years. I'm only a light user of social media. I did start a blog, lifeasawildflower.com, 1 year ago, and that was just to use as a bit of an online journal. I do feel very passionately about subjects, and sometimes I feel like I need to just externalize it and get it all out. So I thought, typing on the computer and getting that out there on a screen was a healthy way to do it. And I thought, hey, if one or two people could read this and I could touch their lives in some way, or if I could shine some light onto a subject or get them fired up, like, yes, this is what I want to read. This is truth right here. This is real raw material. You know, if I could make somebody feel that way, then that would make it all worthwhile. So I guess that's sort of something that I like to dabble in. I don't post very often. I don't blog as much as I would like to, because sometimes it actually overwhelms me. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, I spend most of my time just mothering, and I enjoy training. I've been training for 11 years. I've never been prominently in the fitness industry, but I've worked in it, and I do like to seek enjoyment away from a screen and away from a gym. I believe that there's a lot more to life than those two places, and I find enjoyment in that regularly. And I'd say, in summary, I'm a woman that's passionate about educating other women to accept themselves as they are, and I really do embrace nonconformity, I'd say, as a whole. And I sometimes feel a little bit alone in that thought, but I was really excited about connecting with you the other day, because it seems that you are of the same opinion as I am. So I guess the way we did connect was on a particular Instagram account that's slightly unorthodox. And It is a page and a counter. I won't say the name of it, but it is about shining light onto a particular subject. And I felt that when you approached me on there, that you and I were both fans of women finding out the truth about things that go on behind the scene, social media related. And I did read a quote the other day that really rung true to me, and this is sort of what led me to find this account that you and I both connected on, because I'm of the opinion that this quote is just absolutely spot on. It says social media is about sociology and psychology more than technology, and that is why I enjoy exploring these subjects relating to social media, and why I like to talk in depth about them, and why I'm so passionate about shining light onto certain tactics and strategies that social media influencers use, because I do believe there's a lot of intricate psychology behind it. And for people just to say, oh, it's just a little bit of harmless technology, that's just so incorrect.
Now, I think we can all recognize who is and isn't an influencer. It's not hard to detect that. But what I find is really difficult is figuring out who is being genuine, who is being sponsored, and who you can trust as they are presenting themselves. And that's what we're talking about next.
Well, lack of transparency, for one, going back to, you know, even about one's appearance, mm-hmm. not admitting and acknowledging that there's a lot more that goes on with their appearance than meets the eye. Constant, you know, staged posts that are put up deliberately in order to promote a product. I feel this social media influencer doesn't admit when she's doing a paid and sponsored post. Nearly every single one of her posts is either a paid sponsored post. That's what's so frustrating about it. Just the constant push of product onto her followers and customers. And the sad thing is they seem to just, you know, buy into it straight away. And also the type of photos that she puts up all the time, like, you know, no, she doesn't have a bad physique, but then neither do I, and I don't go constantly flaunting that. Like, there's a certain line there, and I suppose everybody has an opinion as to where that line is. But I always say to people, if you scroll back and look at the last, say, 24 photos that somebody puts up on their account, if 90% of them are all of that person in either a bikini or very revealing clothes or just selfies and just all about them, then that sort of shows the true heart of a person behind it. It's all about self-promotion and all about self-gratification, and there's a lot more to life than that, and I believe there's a lot more to creating honest business than that too, and there's a lot more ways to connect with the everyday woman than putting up a staged, possibly retouched photo of yourself. But you know, that's her strategy, that's what she seems to do, and that's why I've always sort of steered clear of her account. Mm-hmm. I follow it now and then from a distance, and I go on and check and see. I didn't check on this influencer for many, many months, and then I came across her page again, and I thought possibly that there might have been a bit of a change there in her. But then after, you know, a little bit more closely, I suppose you could say, stalking her on Instagram, I could see that there wasn't really a change. That, you know, I saw a couple of posts that may have been possibly false modesty, which seems to be a new strategy these days with influencers. You know, they might delve a little bit of a detail about themselves that might be a little less glamorous than usual, and, you know, have a little bit of a spiel about how their life isn't so perfect either, and they'll give one example of that, or they'll put up a photo without as much makeup on or with no makeup on, or do a before and after photo, a bloated versus non-bloated photo, or a, you know, the 2-second transformation photos that are going around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little bit of that, and I thought, oh, possibly there's been a change there, and she isn't all about putting her best foot forward constantly and creating sort of like a false perception for people. But I soon realised that that's actually a new trend on social media, is to put up posts like that in order to attract more followers and make them believe that you... wow, look, she is relatable. I mean, she's done a 2-second before and after photo. She's been completely transparent with us. She is real.
This led us to talk about transformation photos that you tend to find on the Discover feed quite a lot.
For my listeners specifically, who may not have realized that there is a strategy to these. Now, Instagram can pick up your photo if it gets traction very quickly and put it on the Discover page. And this is essentially where content or photos go viral. And the goal is with those photos to create an image that is liked and commented on, specifically tagging other people in it. To get that initial traction, then once it's on the Discover page, the Discover page does the rest of it for you. It's a really great way to grow followings, and it's a really great way to meet to reach new people. And as a normal user, you probably have no idea that is something that you should be trying to do as a business, but it is. That's something that we recommend to our clients that want to grow their Instagram. You have to create something that is shareable. And that's why people will create those photos.
Maybe if you've never tried to grow a social media account, you didn't realize that there was strategy behind these types of posts. And the next thing that Jess and I talked about was the strategy of social media in general. And there is quite a lot to it. So I hope you enjoy this segment.
I think what you were saying about strategy, in order to grow an account, there has to be strategy in every single post. It's impossible to grow to 1 million followers and not have some sort of clear-cut strategy, where, especially with the current algorithm, where there are so many people trying to grow their accounts, that they put weight on photos that... let me try to explain this in a clearer way. They show photos in your Instagram feed that have an initial quick uptake. So in their first 20 minutes, there are a significant amount of likes and comments. If they don't get that, they don't get in your feed. So that's why a lot of posts are designed to either get you to comment or to outrage you and get you to tag your friends or to win something or anything that you can dream up that you can get people to interact with the post will get you into more people's feeds. And that's the strategy of social media.
Okay, so for instance, this influencer that I'm following has a medium-sized account. With her post changing, always asking for feedback, asking questions, asking comments, asking, you know, tag a friend who can relate, fist pump. That is in a hope that her post will get propelled to this public page. More engagement, more interaction means that it's more likely to be seen on this public page by more of her followers or even people that don't follow her.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a really good time to segue into self-acceptance. And I wanted to ask you, because you've touched on cosmetic surgery a couple of times, I wanted to know, do you think cosmetic surgery develops self-acceptance, or is it a shortcut to it?
Okay, well, I believe in part it's a shortcut, but I will firstly say that I believe that people undergo cosmetic procedures because they don't inherently accept themselves. So the very reason cosmetic surgery or procedures are done, I'm sure we can all agree, is because that person does not like or aren't completely satisfied with a part of themselves. So they seek to alter that. So they're not content with their face or part of their face or body in its natural state. When I say natural state, I mean as you were born. They wish for something that they weren't born with originally. The exception being, of course, as I stated to you in the answers I gave you, was to people who get cosmetic procedures or surgery done for reconstructive or medical purposes. So I'll never include that those women or men in this overall opinion or category, if you will. So, you know, I've actually met several people in real life. I actually used to work in medical administration, and at a particular clinic I used to work at, there were many patients that would come in and get Botox and injections done because they had suffered stroke and the stroke had affected one side of their face. So I am in no way referring to people that have undergone that tragedy, or to use another example, a burn victim, because I realise they get reconstructive surgery to their face as well, to try and return it to its former state. So I just want to let everybody know I'm not referring to any people that have been through those experiences, or probably a couple of others that I haven't mentioned. But, you know, the list now is becoming endless, and there's probably many that I don't innocently know about. But, you know, you get your lip fillers, your Botox injections in the forehead, which is an extremely common one, and literally every social media influencer has that now. Like, I'm a 30-year-old and I look after my skin very well. You know, I've always had acne-prone skin, though. That's been a bit of a downfall, but having really oily skin has meant that I will hopefully, fingers crossed, age well. I've had my skin assessed many times, and I've been told that my fine lines and wrinkles are, you know, that of someone that was many years younger than myself now. So mm-hmm. I got told about a year and a half ago when I got my skin assessed, the lady said to me, she goes, oh, you probably have the fine lines of someone about 22 years of age. And I was very stoked to hear that. And I look after my skin, I keep out of the sun, so I always think, okay, well, I preserve my skin quite well. So when I see somebody who's, you know, about the same age as me or a couple of years older, and their forehead is so tight and shiny that it almost reflects the sun off it, I can barely look at it without sunglasses on, then I'm thinking, okay, well, that's not a forehead of a 30-year-old. Like, that's... And then I'm like, hang on a minute, like, what's wrong with me? For a second, I almost thought that. I started to think that, like, maybe I'm not looking after my skin well. Mm. Like, maybe I've exposed my skin to too much sun in my teens, or maybe, and I've questioned my skin routine, and then I had to start getting used to the idea that, hang on a minute, a lot of these women are getting injections. A couple of them I've asked straight out, have you had injections? Oh, yes, I have. And then now I'm starting to realise, oh, okay, well, I was comparing myself against a false ideal, for starters, but that's a huge one. Is Botox injections in the forehead, and nobody wants to speak about that. Or around the eyes, they get it done, and there's eyebrow tattooing and nose jobs and veneers, and that's a huge one. A lot of social media influencers have veneers, and everybody's saying, oh, man, I wish I had teeth as wide and as straight as yours. It's like, oh, you know, they've paid thousands of dollars to have these very, very straight and white and perfectly aligned teeth, but some women are still deceived and thinking, wow, that's your teeth naturally. Gosh, aren't you lucky? And, you know, eventually some of these women will address this and go, oh, no, it's veneers, or they'll get a follower that will correct them and go, oh, actually, she has veneers. She has mentioned that before. She's sick of talking about it. But, you know, you get new followers all the time, and then people are looking at that face, which is constantly posted up on their screens in front of them, and going, gosh, I wish I looked like that. How did you obtain that feature to look like that? Or how did you get your teeth to look so perfect? They want to know. You know, it's a curiosity thing. It's also a compliment. Wow, look at you. How impressive is that? How did that happen? Or can you give me some advice? Because I'd like to follow that too and possibly achieve the same thing. It's like, well, sure, pay 10 grand and you too could also have it. You know, how about people just start saying that a lot more often? More often. And that would just clear a whole lot of things up, you know? But, you know, there's veneers and there's even injections in the chin and the nose that are becoming popular now. So I've heard. So, you know, The huge deception with women who are social media famous is that Botox and injecting of fillers is concealed and natural beauty is implied. Now, I'm saying implied. They don't necessarily say, I'm a natural beauty that doesn't get any work done. No. But I've seen many, many times people go, oh, wow, you're such a natural beauty, or hashtag natural beauty, and it is not contradicted by that influencer. They don't go, oh hey, hun, thank you, that's so nice of you, but I do actually get this and this done. So they don't correct and contradict it. They allow the person to come to their own assumptions, and they're more than happy to go along with it. So what would you say that is? That's what I ask people.
Yeah.
Is that lying? Is that a subtle form of a lie? That's all I'm throwing out there. So the natural beauty is implied. So this is becoming so common that it's troubling to me. And what's worse is that a lot of these women rarely acknowledge it when people do speculate. And then, as I said before, if they ever do admit the fact, it's because they have been pressed and pressed about it. They finally have to admit to it. So they're not generally automatically transparent about it. There's not that automatic admittance and honesty that comes from their mouths about this subject. So, and this also goes to the maintenance of it. Like, we all know that it's not just one injection. It's not just one lot of fillers. You know, it's just not one eyebrow tattooing. You know, it's a constant, careful maintenance of these enhancements that they've had done. So, you know, I feel that this is creating a never-ending cycle of envy and comparison between women who look up to these social media influencers. And it's damaging their self-esteem, because by not admitting to what work they've had done, they're creating a new normality or standard, in inverted commas, for beauty that others feel that they don't measure up to. And I haven't exactly felt I don't measure up, but I have almost felt that about my skin, because I'm sensitive about my skin, and I've always been a little self-conscious. I suffered from moderate acne, my GP said, when I was a teenager, and I had about 80 pimples on my face at once. Now, it wasn't deep acne. I didn't have to go on, you know, severe medication. It was only some acne gels and whatnot at the time, but I really suffered quite badly for a couple of years, and my self-esteem, which was always quite high, did take a bit of a hit, I'll admit that. And even up until recently, going into really well-lit and bright fluorescent shops, I sort of feel, you know, because I never wear makeup, and so my face, I'm always bare-faced all the time, and I do feel quite vulnerable, you know, an example being service stations, 7-Elevens. You know, we all know that they're really brightly lit, and, you know, it shows up every single imperfection on your face. And I've always been, you know, very, very sensitive about my skin, I suppose. And when I've looked at some of these photos of large social media influencers, I have almost gone to criticize my own skin in comparison. But I've pulled myself up on the basis of what I've seen about their account and how I believe them to be deceptive. And then I've thought, well, if they're deceptive about this one other aspect of their appearance, what's to say they're not deceptive about the other? And then that stopped me in my tracks. And I'm fortunate I've been able to have that thinking process, or I too may have fallen prey to unnecessary self-loathing, because a lot of these followers and a lot of these customers of these women are unnecessarily self-loathing on themselves, because they're looking at a fake ideal of what natural, I'll put it in inverted commas, beauty actually is. And they're comparing themselves to that, and it's not real. And impressionable women, and to a regard many of us are, they see these famous women and they aspire to have these features and the youthfulness that they're portraying. And then that's when the self-loathing of themselves kicks in, and they become discontented because they aren't blessed in the same way she is. So social media has created, as I said earlier in our conversation, social media has, because of this, created a cesspool of fractured self-esteem for women, and it's a real concern for future generations. And, you know, going back to the part of your question where you say, do I feel it's a shortcut? I think that perhaps these women now feel that they are closer to self-acceptance because they've altered themselves cosmetically, but I believe that they'll never fully attain it. Self-acceptance, that is. You know, I've spoken to numerous professionals who administer cosmetic injections as a job. I've been to some of these clinics in Brisbane to get microdermabrasions. I get one or two microdermabrasions a year just to maybe help reduce some of my acne scars. I've heard that it helps with that. And a lot of these women that have done my microdermabrasions, they administer injections. They've had injections themselves, and they, you know, it's just general chit-chat. And I always ask the question, I'll admit that, because I'm very, very curious about it, and I want to also be able to say that I've spoken to people that work in the industry about this. And they have disclosed to me that it often becomes an addiction and a dependence for many women. Once they start with cosmetic injections and procedures, it's very, very hard for them to discontinue it. And And then obviously if it's very, very hard to discontinue, that is an addiction, would you not say? So
yes, I just finished reading up a psychology book on addiction, and that's the technical term for it. When you feel an urge to complete or to do something and you are unable to ultimately control that urge, that is an addiction.
Well, then this, I've spoken to probably about four women that have injected as a living. A couple of them have been injecting for quite some time. One I actually worked for, that wasn't her. She was a practitioner in a specialist field, and she did it as a side business, and she was disclosing a lot of this to me. And she told me once injecting starts, the customer then only looks to other parts of themselves that they aren't happy with, that they believe isn't their idea of perfect, to have that tweaked, as she called it, as well. So she said someone might originally come in and that, you know, I have a thin top lip and I want it to look fuller. Okay. And so you're there for one particular reason. And then, you know, they ask questions and they say, oh, what else do you think? Or what's your opinion? Or I have a friend and she does this, and what's the cost of this, and how will it make me look? And she said before long, they're getting a second area injected and then a third. And she said it then spirals from there. And she said, you know, they always find something else about themselves that isn't their idea of perfect. And generally when they're thinking of an idea of perfect, they generally always refer to somebody that they have seen either in a magazine, somebody that's famous in Hollywood, or somebody on social media. And I found that was absolutely fascinating, because that cemented what I thought was happening. And these women have said to me that they're never satisfied, even then. And I believe if one is never satisfied, then they can never truly accept themselves then. So unless a woman stops paying money to have their appearance altered or enhanced, they do not love or accept themselves in their truest and most raw form. So in a way, it does provide a shortcut to some warped sense of being more confident. But like many other things in life, shortcuts don't last, and they're dishonest to a degree. So, you know, that's even... look at, you know, fad diets, and they cop a lot of flack, you know. Well, you can't just go on this fad diet or live on shakes for a couple of weeks to drop 10 kilos to fit in that particular dress. I mean, you may end up pulling it off, but it's going to have consequences. It's extremely unhealthy, and you'll end up ballooning out weeks after. You know, we're told about this, like people always talk about fad diets and how there's no shortcut to health and fitness. And I believe that, and I know that to be true after training for 11 years. So why do people think that there's shortcuts to building a healthy self-esteem and self-acceptance? There aren't either.
Finally, and this will be the last part of the episode where Jess and I are talking about different social media and influencer topics, and this one is about the teams behind the social media and how much work it actually takes to present an influencer to the world on as many different platforms as they choose to be on.
It's a lot. Like, my partner and I started Trefiel, and it was our first business, so we were very, very newbies, and it took a really long time to learn the ropes. We're still not experts by any means, but we have 2 years under our belt now, and that's considerable when we think about starting another business. It definitely speeds up the process. I think as a normal person looking at social media, and anyone that has a decent following and releases their own products, it's really important to remember that their social media platforms is one tiny sliver of their life, and they squeeze it in, or they have a team managing it. I know there's quite a famous man that talks about social media called Gary Vaynerchuk. You can look him up. He's on basically mm-hmm. every platform. He has a team of 17 running his personal brand. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's quite considerable. He also runs a $200 million social media agency. So, I mean,
that's incredible.
He's the perfect example of someone who has a comprehensive online brand across multiple platforms. So he's literally on every single platform that exists. And mm-hmm. but he also runs a huge business. And if you see anyone that has a social media profile that is slick, just fully try to wrap your mind around the fact that it takes a whole team to make that happen, and it's one tiny part of who they are as a person and what they do every day.
And now we are going to wrap up with Jess's details. You can find out more about her on lifeasawildflower.com, or you can find her on Instagram under lifeasawildflower, one word, and then underscore immediately after. This is Jess's outro.
Sorry, I feel in recent months, or the last year or so, there's been a lot of bloggers that do like to communicate and talk about, you know, social anxiety and postnatal depression and subjects similar to this. And there's a lot more increasing support for these subjects, but I really feel that nobody's really blogging about things such as the psychology behind social media and the effects it can have on women. And I feel that this is just as important to talk about. It's just as serious as anxiety. It's just as serious as postnatal depression, but just in a different way, because we are so driven by social media. Now, social media is a prominent part of all of our lives, whether that be for business or personal reasons. We do spend part of every day on social media. Many of us do. Some of us spend hours per day on social media. I've had one woman disclose to me she spends 3 to 4 hours a day on social media. So if this is the case, that is a significant part of somebody's day and overall life. So it would be having an effect on them. It would be having an effect on their mental health, on their emotional well-being, their self-confidence, their self-acceptance level. So I really feel that social media and the tactics and strategies used by large influencers, the psychology behind all of this, even behind the business side of it, and how it makes us feel about ourselves is so paramount to talk about. And I feel that only now, since meeting you online, do I feel that there's a hope that this will start to be openly spoken about and light will be shone onto these subjects, and there will be a certain amount of transparency that will come to the surface. And that makes me really delighted, to be honest, because you're the first person, and I hope there's more out there that has approached myself, and I'm only a small-time blogger, about, you know, getting together and speaking about this so we can share it with, you know, other women that are on social media who may have been affected by the negative side of large influencers and the negative side of these Insta-famous people that are out there. And, you know, I don't want to discredit this subject. I think there's a lot more substance to it. There's a lot more things that can be explored with it. And I'm just really happy that I can be a part of talking about this and sharing my opinion and perspective with a lot of other women out there. So I really want to thank you.
Thank you. And it's been really wonderful to speak with you as well. Often you find on Instagram that there are a lot of people that, at least for me, I find it difficult to find my people that can speak clearly and vocally about what they think and feel. And to even know what they think and feel, it's clear to me that you spend a lot of time thinking and writing about your thoughts on this. And when I saw your comments, I knew straight away that I had to talk to you, because I never see well-written comments on Instagram. So, that girl's my girl.
I'm very flattered, because, you know, I would like to be considered as somebody who can put her feelings into words in a way that a lot of people can easily read and understand and relate to. And I guess that's one reason why I started my blog. Mm-hmm. And I really aspire for people just to understand what they're reading they don't necessarily have to walk away agreeing with all of it, but if they can completely absorb what I'm saying, go away and think about it and have a little bit of an enlightenment or a revelation about what I was talking about and come to finding truth from it, then I'm extremely, that makes me extremely happy, and that makes me feel really contented that my writing is doing something. So I really just hope to continue to do that in the coming months and years, and I'm very excited to have met someone such as yourself that that not only has extensive experience, like way beyond what I actually have, but that I can learn from, but somebody that shares some of the opinions that I do about psychology behind social media, and you have the same desire as I do for women to be enlightened and educated about it. So I really look forward to seeing where this can go.
Yeah, me too, Jess. And thank you for your time on a Sunday. I really appreciate
it. I really appreciate your time, because I know you've had a bit of a lack of sleep the last couple of days, and you sound very energetic. I would never have guessed.
We won't talk about why.
No, we won't. We won't delve into that. You can talk about that with your followers if you wish. But you sound very sprightly to me, so that should complement your lovely, almost South Australian sounding accent and your extreme youth. There we go.
Okay, so that's it for today's episode, and it was quite a big one, so I hope you enjoyed it. Definitely a new topic for me, and one I hope to be speaking about a little more often. It's something I've spent a lot of time doing for my own business, and I also do it as well for Milu Consulting, which is the consulting business that Michael and I founded. And it's something that I think every normal person should know, because if you're on social media, you are consuming content that is designed to make you react, engage, or purchase things. And you have a right to know and recognize what that content is when it's on your phone. So this will be the first episode in a series of different episodes talking about the state of modern marketing. And I hope to package it in a way that is easy to understand and hopefully helps you navigate the online world with a bit more clarity. As always, I love to hear from you guys. So if you have any feedback, you want to share anything, or what the most shocking thing was from this episode, feel free to send me a message or an email. I absolutely love hearing from all of you. And until next week, I hope you have an awesome week, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.